Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, we're going to be doing another expository teaching out of the book of Titus. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. And let me situate our screen right up here. Let's go there now. Here we go. Yes. And I've entitled this evening's message, Learning to Love Your Family. Learning to Love Your Family. Praise God. Praise God. You know, before we get started, I just want to just give a shout out to the beautiful families that attend Amazing Grace. And I've met many wonderful families throughout 15 years of ministry, pastoring Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. I hope this message will encourage you, that you would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would continue to be diligent and obedient to the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. And I know there's struggles in all families, but I'm hoping that this expository teaching and the Word of God that will be presented will give you more understanding, will edify you, and build you up in your most holy faith. That's what it's all about, building your lives. My life is being built the same way as I teach you. So whatever's for you is for me as well. Praise God. And I'm so blessed and privileged to teach the Word of God. Amen. So with that said, let's start with Titus chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 through 8. And the Word of God reads, But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, praise God, in patience. Verse 3, the older women, likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, praise God. Verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Look at verse 6. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. And verse 7 and 8. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, meaning in teaching, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be what? Ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Wow. Wow, there's a whole lot in that, isn't there? And we're going to do our best to break it all down. Praise God. So let's go back with verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper. For what? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. You see, saints, the word, but contrast this verse with the previous verses. Whereas the false teachers were deceivers, Titus was to promote the kind of living that reflects right teaching. Praise God. Praise God. I found a scripture that we could look at for a moment. Look at this. Found in 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, knowledge and acceptance of right teaching should lead to righteous living. Praise God. Behavior should match our belief. Can I get an amen? Thus, in the following verses, Paul gave the examples of right behavior expected of several types of people in the churches. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in the book of Romans right up here. Let's go here. In Romans 16, 17 through 20, look at this. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the teaching, doctrine, which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of simple. Let me just pause there and we'll continue with these verses. You see, my friends, unfortunately, there are people that come in for all the wrong reasons. And so that's why Paul said, note them. Listen, it's not our job to be fruit inspectors. It's not our job to judge. But those who are causing havoc, those who are slanderers, those who just cause trouble, we note them, and then we bring them to the elders. And the elders will decide what to do. Never take anything in your own hands. Can I get an amen? That's right. That's right. Just note it, just like the Word of God says. Just note it and bring it to one of the elders' attentions. Not that you're slandering or backbiting, but it has to be a legitimate reason that you're coming forth with such unruly behavior. Amen. Let's continue now with this verse of Scripture in verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's move on to verse 2 of Titus. And verse 2, here we go. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Praise God. Saints, the older men, though technically not elders, were the senior members of the community and should be examples of maturity. They were the pool from which elders were to be appointed. Praise God. Praise God. And so I want you to catch this, what I found in the Old Testament. Let's go to Isaiah 28. Look at this, 7 through 8. But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. Wow, that's pretty tough, isn't it? My friends, this scripture represented those that were Cretans or Cretans and also the Judaizers. And Paul was addressing this to Titus. He addressed it to Timothy. He addressed it to many other saints that truly loved God and wanted to truly walk in the ways of the Lord. But because there were mature members, saints of God, of the community there, and examples to younger men, Titus should teach the older men to exercise self-control, meaning that their lives should show moderation and clear-headedness and with an absence of extravagance. You see, my friends, to be worthy of respect means that they should be serious-minded, and they should act as dignified and honorable adults. To live wisely contrasts with the lifestyle in a heathen atmosphere. It was very heathenistic. You heard that old saying, oh, you bunch of heathens. Well, they were heathens because they're noted there. Because Paul, through the discernment of the Spirit of God, spotted them and noted it. And so, my friends, they needed to monitor and restrain their passions, their anger, and words. You see, my friends, strong faith meant that they were to have a healthy and personal faith in God. Praise God. By maintaining the Christian truth. Praise God. And so love meant that they should be loving, not bitter. And their love was to be personal and outgoing. Patience required endurance and steadfastness. Look what I found here in the book of John. Look at this, regarding this issue. John 13, 34 through 35, these were the words of Jesus. A new commandment I give to you, that you should what? Hate one another. No, love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know what? What will they know? That you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I want to pause there. If you are truly a child of God and are walking in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ and are being discipled through the organization that you're involved in, Amazing Grace and other fine churches, the pastor is placed there to build you up in your most holy faith. And so you have become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, being raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so Jesus clearly stated that if you are true disciples of Him, you will love one another as He has loved us. There's really no ifs, ands, or buts. Praise God, saints. And so with that, let's go now to verse 3 of Titus chapter 2. And it reads, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much what? Wine, teachers of good. You see, my friends, now it's shifted from the men to the women. Praise God, praise God. Paul's directive, saints of God, for Titus to teach women was in itself a startling departure from the way women were usually treated back in that day. And so Paul wrote to Timothy regarding some of these issues that were raised up in the church. Look at this. They rose up and they needed to be dealt with. Look at this right here in 1 Timothy 3:11. Likewise, their wives must be what? Reverent. Reverent. Not slanderers. Temperate. Faithful in all things. All things. Listen, sometimes it's very difficult, saints of God. I get that. That conflicts will arise, especially in marriages. But the role for that wife and mother, if they have children, is to have reverence of the Lord Jesus Christ and to spiritually submit under the leadership and the headship of the husband. Not that he is a ruler and controller over her, no, but that she would be led by the power of the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead the entire family. Yes, sometimes there's going to be conflicts and misunderstandings. I get that. You've had them, I've had them. But when the rubber meets the road, it's all about giving God all the glory and honor. And I need you to just remember the structure. It's God, the man, the woman, and then the children. Can I get an amen? That's the structure that God instituted many, 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 many years ago. You see, my friends, the inequalities found in society were not to be brought into church relationships. You see, my friends, we honor older people when we consider them capable of still being nurtured. Praise God. The older woman must also be taught their lifestyles and should be appropriate, dignified, worthy of honor, Christ-like. Older Christian women should have a respectful attitude toward all aspects of life and toward people of all ages. Praise God. They were not to go around speaking evil of others, meaning slanders and gossip. Hey, psst, 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 psst. No. Nor should they be heavy drinkers. Instead, these older women should teach others what is good. Praise God. And this meant, saints of God, this meant not necessarily public sharing, but sharing their wisdom, knowledge, and faith with their circles of family, their sphere of influence, friends and families alike. An old woman should regard her life as less valuable when children have left or after retirement from a career. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Proverbs instructs parents, especially women who are the nurturers of the home. Look at this right up here. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not. What? Depart from it. Praise God, praise God. And nor should they capitulate to despair or loneliness to set in. We need their wisdom, prayers, and examples. There are some wonderful women, I call them mothers in Zion, who I can glean off because they've been through many situations in life. They've been through trials and tribulations. You could glean off their testimonies how God saw them through. And this is how we have to entreat them, with love and respect. But what we're learning tonight, they must do the same. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, let's move on to Titus chapter 2, verse 4. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Are you catching that, saints of God? Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, what I found in 1 Timothy sums it up. It sums up. Look at this. I want you to catch this regarding this verse. Let's read this verse one more time. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Look at this. In 1 Timothy 5:14, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. What? Yes, yes. That's a serious indictment that Paul wrote to Timothy. That there are some slanderers and gossipers. Listen, some of you know people that have left our church, many other churches. I've only been to 3 churches in my entire 33 years of living as a Christian. And I've seen people come and go, some for the right reasons and some for all the wrong reasons. I've seen some people leave because they couldn't stand another congregant. Wow. And what happens is they take that same issue and go to another fellowship. It's never been resolved in their heart with the prior congregant. And they spew out the same rhetoric. And it happens all over again. They'll get to know someone. That person will get under their claw, under their skin, and then they bounce. They've never learned the Word of God. They've never learned to submit. They've never learned to follow the leadership. But basically, they never learned to obey Christ Jesus. They let their emotion and their sinfulness have the best of them. And they feel like, oh, I'm doing me a service. I'm moving on. No. Instead of working it out, instead of loving the person, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Instead of going that direction, they huff and puff, exit, stage left, right even. Yes, they do a Snagglepuss. Remember that cartoon? Well, pray for them. You know, when people leave like that, you just pray for them that hopefully one day they'll come to a place where God will bring them to, a place of repentance, and they could cry out for the error of their way. You see, saints, specifically the older woman could train the younger women in the church by word and example. Paul wanted the older women to teach what is good. And here he explained in full detail of what we're reading. First, saints of God, they could encourage the young woman in the church to love their husbands and their children. And this seems obvious, but Paul may have included this because of special problems in Crete, or even because of the influence of the false teachers like the Judaizers to totally disregard these responsibilities. And so, my friends, I'm praying, if you have the opportunity to bless people, bless them, build them up in their most holy faith. Oh, that's right. I'm speaking to you, mothers and sisters, daughters, cousins, friends. I'm speaking to the women right now. Learn to build up those who are married, to build up your husband, to pray for him. All of them will struggle with issues of life. But if you're truly walking in the Spirit of Christ, you will learn to see that we are men and women of flesh. The Bible says, King David wrote it out clearly in Psalms 51, where we were formed and shapen in iniquity. Romans says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so we all have faults and failures. But when we come to Christ, God then starts doing a wonderful transformation in our heart. It's called sanctification. And as we are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow, we teach others to grow as well, to love them, not to point out their sin. The Holy Spirit will do that. When we point out people's sin, it becomes condemnation. It becomes condemning them. The Holy Spirit will convict them. Conviction will bring repentance. Praise God, praise God. Condemnation will cause them to be angry. They'll be filled with rage. And they will turn around and curse you. Maybe not with their mouth, but in their heart they will. Praise God. So let's move on now to the next verse in Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not what? Be blasphemed. Be blasphemed. Wow, wow. You see, Paul was serious about this matter. As with the older men and women, these younger women needed to live wisely. You know, one of the things I've seen, not just in our church, but many other churches that I attended, that when a young woman gets saved, say she's in her young adulthood, she gets saved and now she's like a flower in God's garden. You can see that she's in love with Jesus and she wants to come and grow and serve and worship. And then old Slewfoot will bring someone her way. And the next thing, the affection and the love that she has for Christ has been diverted. And now it goes upon this new person that maybe she wasn't looking for, but somehow came into her path and is causing her to turn her heart away from the Lord, to cause her to possibly fall, but more so to direct her love and attention from Christ to Him. I've seen it happen so many times. Wonderful sisters. And then all of a sudden, you don't see them anymore. They run off, or who knows what happens. You see them later on in life and you see that they had moments. They had moments in the beginning to fulfill the call and the love of God in their life. And yet, old Slewfoot would bring someone. He'll bring an uncircumcised Philistine. Oh, that's right. What do I mean by that? An unbeliever. A wolf in sheep's clothing to steer that little lamb away. Wow, it happens. And so, my friends, the next word, pure, means to control their passions and desires, remaining true to their husbands. Perhaps Paul also mentioned this because of a particular problem that was in Crete. These young wives and mothers should take care of their homes, which, as any homemaker knows, and it can be a challenging and diverse career in itself, and do good. You know, I thank and praise God for my own daughter, Sophia, who lives now in Arkansas. But all four children were homeschooled, raised in the things of the Lord. And I tip my hat to her, because this past Sunday, my grandson, Benjamin, He's 17, I believe. And my granddaughter, Ella, 16. They were baptized and they gave their hearts to Christ and they became born again. Wow. Wow. You know, just so that I'll keep this very short, but when I got saved, my daughter Sophia was 6. My son Anthony was about 2.5. And when I started bringing them to the house of God, I asked God, God, will you save them at your appointed time? And would you save my grandchildren? And God has been faithful, faithful. Because my children are saved, and 2 out of the 4 grandchildren have given their hearts to Christ. I'm in awe. I'm in awe of what God is doing. And I need you to hold on if you're listening to this message. You may have kids, grandkids, that maybe right now they're not serving God. Well, guess what? They're looking for you to show them the way. Because they may not come to church, they may not go to a Bible study, but your life is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life is what counts and what matters in your sphere of influence. Hold on. Don't give up. Can I get an amen? And watch God do the miraculous. Because He'll do the miraculous. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints, in addition, the young women were to be submissive to their husbands. Submission between marriage partners is an often misunderstood concept. This text, for example, cannot be used to promote the general subjugation of all women under all men. No. For marriage and family relationships to run smoothly, there must be one appointed leader according to God's rule, the way He structured it. God has appointed the husband and father to be this leader. The wife should willingly follow her husband's leadership in Christ, acknowledging that this is his responsibility. And if he fails, it's between him and God. But the wife is to continue to pray for him, that issues in his life will be resolved between him and God, and that the family can continue to move forward with God. You see, my friends, maturity provides the key to the understanding of what submission is all about. The husband must not be a tyrant, faithless, unloving, or impatient, as previously mentioned. He should be worthy of respect. Can I get an amen in the house, sisters? That's right. Likewise, the woman should not be rebellious, undermining, or contradicting the man. Submission means to accept the relationship that God has designed, voluntarily subjecting oneself to God's order and fulfilling the responsibilities that come with it. And for more of Paul's advice of marriage, we can see this right here, laid out in Ephesians. Look at this. It's clear and simple through the Word of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as what? To the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, and also Christ is head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Look at this. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might what? Present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be what? Holy, without blemish. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Look at this in verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Look at that. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Praise God. And verse 32 and 33. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, verse 33, Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Wow. Well, there's a whole lot of that. We could do an expository teaching on those verses, and we have. Just go back to my teachings in the book of Ephesians, and we have covered that. But this is just paralleling. It's a parallel to what we're learning in Titus, what Titus was taught. Because Paul, many of his letters, he wrote from prison. He got messengers to bring him down so that he would be praying in the Holy Spirit, and God would show Paul that there was chaos in certain churches that were established by him. And so he was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Pastors should be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not to cut and not to allow blood to come forth a cut. No, you're to preach with confidence, with purity of the Word of God to help build lives. Let the conviction come from the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Saints, Paul's purpose in these instructions and every believer's purpose in following them was to glorify God. The believers were being watched. And if they lived righteous and blameless lives, they should not bring shame on the Word of God. Praise God. And for the believers to continue living in sin amounted to denying God's Word and God Himself, who had saved them from sin and expected them to obey His commands. Wow, wow. So now, let's go down to verse 6 in Titus chapter 2. Likewise, exhort the young man to be sober-minded. Sober-minded, praise God, praise God. Paul urged Titus to encourage the young men to live wisely in all they do. Young men today, as much as in ancient times, may lack this quality. I get that. You get that. But Paul addressed this to Timothy. Look at this. He wrote this in 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers. Brothers. These younger men are your brothers, saints of God. You see, if young men exercise self-restraint, balance, common sense, guess what? They can save themselves from much trouble in all areas of life. Praise God, praise God. And so, my friends, let's move on as we're coming in for a close. Let's move on to verse 7 and 8 in the teachings of Titus chapter 2. And it reads, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent, look at this, may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Wow, that's the key, saints of God, that we would walk in the will of God, in the grace of God. They need to see Jesus. You see, saints, Titus, qualifying as a young man himself, was urged to be an example for the young men in the churches that he led. Oh, that's right. Look what also I found in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I'm so blessed that we have young men at our church. They come every Sunday. They're in the Word of God. They're growing in their faith. And that's what it's all about. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Titus's authority, his words, could have no impact if not backed by a blameless life of doing good deeds. Titus's teaching should emphasize wise living, while his lifestyle should be an example of that. And from speaking of Titus's actions, Paul turned to Titus's public ministry of teaching. His life should reflect the integrity and seriousness of what he taught, and would contrast him with the false teachers who taught lies. And there was a whole bunch of them. You see, my friends, this quality of integrity would come from careful Bible study and prayer. This would especially be important as Titus taught or confronted others about spiritual or moral issues, praise God. If he acted impulsively or unreasonably, he would more likely, saints of God, start arguments than convince people of the truth. Seriousness indicates teaching with reverence, so that Titus's words would be respected and taken seriously. Paul counseled Titus to be above criticism in how he taught him. Why? Because of his unique role in Crete. His life must display a remarkable degree of correctness, and he would be constantly on display. Praise God. So, my friends, Titus's every word must be measured so that he would remain above reproach and condemnation. His exemplary life, his teaching and speech would shame those who may want to argue with them. Why? Because he walked in the truth, my friends. And so, my friends, we have concluded chapter 2, and we're looking forward next week to chapter 3. But I'm here to let you know, my friends, we know that Jesus is coming soon. This is a time that we truly need to be diligent in raising up our children, our grandchildren, our sphere of influence, raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Saints of God, I'm praying that many of your family members, friends, and acquaintances that just have no desire to be in a Bible study or to come to church, that your prayers would be answered by God. And all of a sudden, it'll click inside of them and they'll come forth. They'll come forth. Maybe they'll contact you, or maybe they'll just walk into a church, or maybe in their living room, wherever they may be, they would cry out to God. Praise God. I'm excited because Jesus is about to return. Oh, that's right. It's been prophesied. It's been written in the book of Matthew 24 that in the last days we would see signs. That's right, signs. It's all about the sign line, not the timeline. We don't make dates here. Can I get amen? But we can see the signs. We can see wars and rumors of wars. We can see earthquakes in various places. We can see deception. It's in the church. It's in the world. Oh, that's right. We've seen many false Christs rise up and basically have fallen. Jesus said it would be like that. He said it would be like the days of Lot and Noah, violent and sexually immoral. My friends, we can't even watch television anymore for the ungodliness that come on the commercials. But that, let me just say this. I want to say this clearly. We may think things are falling apart around us, but I'm here to let you know things are falling in place. They're falling in place. Why? Because God already wrote it in His Word what we would see just before He came to take us home. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. Some of you are going through financial despair. Some of you are going through deep depression and loneliness. Some of you need a healing in your body. Some of you are praying for a wonderful spouse, a husband or a wife for you. Hold on. Let your requests be made known unto God. Be faithful in what He has given you and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. He will surprise you and you will know it's Him. You see, there's an old saying, He may not be there when you call upon Him, but He's always right on time. And so, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, praise God. Listen, my friends, I'm going to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. That's right. I'm going to call upon Him and ask God to do the miraculous in your life. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you. especially if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've backslidden. In other words, you've drifted away. And for some reason tonight, God has gotten your attention once again. He's lovingly bringing you back to a place of repentance. So if that's you, whether you've been drifting away or if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, here's your great opportunity right now. Come on, don't turn this off. Don't go to another YouTube feed or Facebook feed. I want you to just hear God's calling in your life and that He would truly touch your heart and God would do something so supernatural in your life, you will know only God can touch you in that way. If that's you, pray this simple prayer by faith and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Someone just gave their heart to Christ. If that's you, look down below. There's our banner right below. Hey, log on. When you log on, our email, our phone number's there. Listen, reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to point you to a direction where God, hallelujah, will continue to raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. If you live in another state, another country, hey, you reach out to us. We'll find a church for you and point you to them, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, my friends, as you can see down below, each and every one of you have been such a huge blessing to Amazing Grace. And you've been supporting our ministry for many years. Some of you have just joined us and you are a blessing. I want you to know that. Donations are deeply appreciated. So, my friends, I'm excited for this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I hope you all come out and spend that morning with us at 10 a.m. Also, we're going to be having, by the way, we're going to have a special guest worship leader. He was there a couple of weeks ago, Khalid. Khalid is going to be with us. And man, it's going to be awesome. He plays keyboards and he has a voice like an angel. Don't miss out on this Sunday. And then right after service, we're going to be in the fellowship hall and we're going to have an Italian theme. So just bring whatever God lays on your heart that we can all enjoy each other's food. And then immediately after that, our healing rooms will begin at 1 p.m. And so I'm excited. I'm excited what God's going to do this Sunday. I'm excited for you. And listen, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself, we want to wish you and all your families a very happy Thanksgiving Day this Thursday. Eat a lot of turkey and gravy and pumpkin pie. It's going to be a wonderful time to be with family and friends. And so I'm going to leave you this benediction and then we can be dismissed this evening. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So we love you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in for this expository teaching. We look forward to seeing you also next Wednesday with Titus chapter 3. But for those of you who've never been to our church for this Sunday, we're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita. We love you guys. God bless you. And we'll see you this Sunday morning at 10. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.